Welcome to Simple Living Works. I'm Jerry Iverson. I'm pleased to be your host for the short series, Whose Birthday?, featuring audio selections from Simple Living Works' signature publication, the Advent Christmas Annual for Families and Congregations, called Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive lifestyle. We have produced a real treasure trove of audio, video, and text resources for you, your family, and your congregation or group. We do not solicit or accept cash donations, nor do we sell anything. All our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. We do promote alternative giving. See the link in the show notes to the guidelines for year-round alternative giving, as well as the classic Christmas versions. That's at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Basically, alternative giving means giving away at least 25% of what we spent last year on all celebrations, Christmas, birthday, etc., to national, local, and international causes. Our mission is equipping people of faith to, 1, challenge consumerism, 2, live justly, and 3, celebrate responsibly. All three parts of our mission are especially wrapped up in our resources for Advent and Christmas. When consumerism is at its peak, when we need reminders both to be charitable instead of spending so much on ourselves, and to challenge the systems that make charity necessary, and to celebrate in simple ways that focus on relationships instead of stuff. Our site contains familiar titles such as Unplug the Christmas Machine Workshop, Carols with Justice, The Celebration Revolution of Alexander Scrooge, What Does Jesus Want for Christmas?, and many more. Check out our extensive resource list. The link is given in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. This short series is completely different from last year's really big Whose Birthday series, which, by the way, is still available on our site if you missed it or would like to hear it again. Visit simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. Learn more about us in episodes 1 and 2. In this episode, I present the audio adaptation of our well-known Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? I hope you listen to the entire series, though each episode is self-contained. The series contains reflections and activities designed especially for the weeks of Advent and Christmas, including the Feast of the Epiphany. We'll have numerous guest voices and writers, including Daniel Berrigan, William Sloan Coffin, Susan Briel, Art Simon, Susan Vogt, and many others. Links to some of the writers' websites and sources of their books are given in the show notes. Likewise, links to the numerous references in this episode are in the show notes. The calendar, by the way, in this podcast corresponds with 2014. I'll let you in on a little secret. All 4 episodes of this series are already produced and available at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, in the preview and backup index. If you don't want to wait for each of these to be released on iTunes or Stitcher, visit the site and listen to all or some of the series. The topics for each episode are there too, so you'll know what each episode contains. The series comes from edition number 18 of Whose Birthday, which is based on liturgical cycle B, that is, the Gospel of Mark, the same as this Advent and Christmas season. Igniting Simplicity Within Our Hearts, a daily calendar or journal for Advent and Christmas, Liturgical Cycle B. Each day offers ideas and suggestions for making this a season of meaning. Instead of letting the season happen to you, use this calendar as a journal to be intentional, inspired, and most of all, joyful. As your personal journal, this calendar can help guide you and your family through the Advent Christmas seasons. Share it with others in your Christmas cards and letters. Offer it to your church and make it a community journey. As a family, select a cause or organization to support with money you collect. Choose a percentage early in the season, from 25 to 100%. Then give that amount every time you spend any money for Christmas, in addition to the amount you would normally give away. decorate a can to hold the money. Put it on display. $20 on a tree, then $20 goes in the can. This money is not a penalty. Rather, it serves as a reminder and aid to help others. Donate the money on Epiphany, the day the Magi offered their gifts to Jesus. Go through the calendar face-to-face or by phone with at least one Advent partner, a friend, a child, or someone you've wanted to get to know better. Children can color the calendar. Add more pages to meet your needs. At the time of year when we greet the Prince of Peace and remember the promise of peace on earth, goodwill to all, many people are anything but peaceful. Busy shoppers, anxious children, hungry and homeless families, victims of family violence and conflict worldwide, all yearn for the peace the herald angels announce. Through daily thoughts and actions, this calendar helps us begin to experience and share the peace promised by the birth and life of Jesus. At a family meeting before Thanksgiving, talk about Christmas expectations. What do each one of us really want? Who is going to do what? What is really most meaningful? Are we willing to spend less on ourselves and give more to the needy? Write down and post decisions and changes to consider. December 7th, Sunday, Advent 2. Read and meditate on Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11, 2 Peter 3, verses 8 through 15a, and or Mark 1, verses 1 through 8. Share the reflection for this day in Whose Birthday Is It, Anyway? December 8th, discuss ways you can share the Christmas spirit by anonymous gifts of food, tools, toys, books, furniture, clothing, etc. Consider giving the gift of your time to someone. December 9th, homemade gifts are best, such as a family trivia game, a way to remember and celebrate, and for newcomers to learn about family lore. Questions can cover relations, activities, statistics, sayings, oddities, and places and events. Add new questions every year, or make a family brainstorming and memorabilia time each season. Give a grandparent book on December 10th to a grandchild. Include information and pictures about your own childhood. December 11th. The Bible contains over 300 verses related to the poor. Take 10 minutes with your family to find as many scriptures as you can that talk about caring for others. December 12th, ask each child to select and wrap a good used toy as a gift given in Jesus' name, then donate it to a mission or children's home. December 13th, some families set a specific limit on the number of gifts each person, including children, receives. The Christ child was given 3 gifts by the Magi. If 3 was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. December 14th, Sunday, Advent 3. Read and meditate on Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4, and 8 through 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 24, and or John 1, 6 through 8, and 19 through 28. Share the reflection for this day in Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? December 15th, discuss how you can witness the good news of Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection to others. A. Through your preparation and decorations this year. B. Practicing kindness to those who serve you. And C. Creating thoughtful homemade gifts and donating money you would have spent on mass-produced ones. December 16th. Ask someone who may be lonely to go out with your family to look at decorations and window displays. Talk about which decorations best communicate the true meaning of Christmas. Sing authentic Christmas carols as you go from house to house. December 17th, read Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, or watch it on a video or in a live play. Or watch or listen to The Celebration Revolution of Alexander Scrooge, a modern Christmas carol, from Alternatives. Then discuss it. December 18th, talk about our responsibility to care for animals. Discuss things you do to take care of any pets you have without treating them like humans. Can you do something special for the animals outside your home? Make the connection between caring for pets and wild animals and creatures we can't see, such as a coral, that are vital to life. December 19th, discuss ways your family can help a lonely person feel better. Do you know anyone far from home this holiday? Someone single or alone for the first time this Christmas? You can invite such a person over for dinner. Is there some special gift of time or talent that you can share with another to brighten the holidays? December 20th. Limit the number of gifts to one and make finding it exciting. A treasure hunt. One clue leads to another until they find the gift. The reflection for the second week of Advent is Waiting with Mary, Preparing with John the Baptist by Susan Vogt, author of Raising Kids Who Will Make a Difference.
We wait for the mail, for the rain to stop or start, for our birthday, for a loved one to return home, for results of a medical test, for a trip to start, or a wedding day. It's hard to wait. And it should be so, because waiting is part of the experience. If every day was your birthday, at first this would seem wonderful, but eventually we would find the thrill diminished as a special day becomes every day. If the rain stopped or started at our command, at first it would seem idyllic and convenient, but part of the joy of beautiful days is knowing that they are not always that way. We need to pay attention and savor it. If we never had to wait for a loved one to return, would the arrival be so cherished? Would the wedding day carry such power if couples did not have to wait for it? But our culture tries to rob us of the joy that comes after waiting, especially during Advent. Stories celebrate Christmas before its time, and many of us are sucked into celebrating Christmas with parties and festive homes before the actual feast. Perhaps we need to take our lead from pregnant women. In the quiet, dark womb, growth is taking place, both physically and emotionally. The mother starts to change her habits and mindset. For the reflective mother, there is also spiritual growth, as slowly she lets go of control over her body and her desires, and realizes that motherhood is a long process of sacrificing self for the good of another. But this waiting is not only internal. Responsible parents prepare the home. We buy baby supplies, prepare a space, perhaps prepare siblings for the upcoming birth. So too it can be with Christmas. As the pregnant world waits for Jesus to come again into our midst, we need quiet, dark, internal growth, similar to John the Baptist's time in the desert. But that doesn't mean we need be inactive. Preparing the home gradually, buying gifts so that we will be ready, keeping it simple, lest stress crowd out our calm, are part of active waiting. Yes, waiting is hard, but it makes the longed-for event more momentous. Let the first day of Christmas be truly the first day of Christmas, and not just the first day of the next Christmas shopping season. Let us wait.
Discussion questions. What does it feel like to wait?
Does waiting change the way you look at things?
How can waiting for Christmas help us prepare for Jesus to come again into our midst?
How do we as a family plan to find the quiet time we need during this season?
Susan Vogt is a freelance writer and speaker on marriage, parenting, and spirituality, living in Covington, Kentucky. Visit her website, www.susanvogt.net. That's SusanVogt.net. The Gift of Ritual by Meg Cox, author of Book of New Family Traditions.
When it comes to ritual, quality is more important than quantity. I think Americans use the all-you-can-eat buffet as a model for way too much in life. This has made us not only obese, but unfocused, and it's definitely the wrong model for ritual. Since we're approaching Christmas, think of it this way. How would the Magi ever have found baby Jesus if they were scrambling around trying to follow a whole bunch of stars? They were guided by one single bright star. Our holiday rituals will be a compelling beacon to our kids if they are simple, clear, and heartfelt. If we are to add rituals this year, let them come from our deepest beliefs. And if we want to emphasize to our children that the best gifts don't always come in a box, maybe we can add rituals about that.
Start a gift of ourselves tradition in which each family member announces something they will do for the family in the coming year. One way to do this is for each person to write down his or her planned gift on a piece of paper. Little ones may need help. During the weeks before the holiday, and slip it into a special stocking whose contents will be read aloud on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. Kids could give the gift of a cheerful attitude about homework, or a child could offer to fix breakfast every Saturday, or walk the dog daily, or help gather up all the dirty clothes on laundry day. During the small ceremony, where the gift pledges are read, perhaps while everyone sips cocoa, the family can also decide on a gift from the whole family to the local community or to needy people elsewhere in the world. You could do research in advance and let the family vote among several options. The community service could itself be set up as a monthly family ritual, such as helping out at a local soup kitchen or cleaning up a nearby park.
Here's another way to think about the gift of ritual. You could decide as parents to create the gift of a new ritual for the coming year. You could describe it on a piece of paper, giving it a clever name, put it in a box, and wrap it.
Some ideas for new rituals. Invent a new weekly tradition that will be fun for the whole family, like a weekly game night. To signal it, you could buy a new game or two and put them under the tree. Especially appropriate are non-competitive ones like alternatives The Christmas Game and The Anytime Game. Both are a series of questions you can use with your family to get everybody thinking and talking about the real sources of holiday joy.
Or announce that every Sunday afternoon is going to be Adventure Quest in the coming year, with each kid taking turns choosing whether to visit the zoo, the park, the local museum, or a bowling alley. You could put a blank journal and a disposable camera into a package for each kid, adding fanfare to the new ritual announcement. And they can use these tools to record what happens on the quests.
Or make Friday night's family movie night with popcorn and other treats. Structure the ritual always to begin by sharing details of everyone's life that week. Start a movie critic's journal in which each person gives the movie thumbs up or thumbs down and describes one favorite scene or character.
Don't forget, if you're looking for a ritual to add, the rituals that matter most to kids are the daily ones. I'm especially big on dinner rituals, and I heard a compelling one recently from Matt Barron of Chicago Parent. Matt knows a family where each person has to answer these three questions at dinner. What made you laugh today? What made you think? And what did you share? I hope your holidays are rich in rituals.
The Gift of Ritual was shared in Meg Cox's Ritual Newsletter.
The reflection for the third week of Advent is Giving to the Wrong People by Art Simon, founder of Bread for the World.
The overwhelming majority of Christmas gifts in the U.S. go to friends and relatives who, like their givers, are affluent. For many of us, the problem is figuring out what to buy for people who already have everything they need. Those truly in need, poor and hungry people, for example, are lucky to get anything from us. If remembered at all, they tend to be an afterthought. Is something wrong with this picture? Doesn't Jesus, not to mention other biblical witnesses, make pretty clear that our generosity should be directed first and foremost to those who are hurting for lack of essentials? Of course, there is no biblical text telling us to use our Christmas money on poor people rather than on our friends and relatives. Or is there? Jesus came pretty close when he said, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed." That's from Luke chapter 14. In the great judgment scene portrayed in Matthew 15, Jesus does not say to those who are welcomed into his kingdom, "I was a prosperous relative, and you showered me with things I didn't need." Rather, he says, "I was hungry, and you gave me food, a stranger, and you welcomed me, naked, and you gave me clothing, sick, and you took care of me, in prison, and you visited me." A friend of mine decided years ago to give at least as much at Christmas to help the poor as he spends on gifts for others. Doesn't that better reflect God's gift of love to us?
Discussion questions. Do you know personally anybody who is hurting for lack of essentials?
How much would our family give to help the poor if we did the same as Mr. Simon's friend?
What Christmas gift could we give that would please Jesus as much as it pleases ourselves?
If we adopted a family in need this Christmas, which of our gifts or traditions would we share with them?
Art Simon is founder and president emeritus of Bread for the World and author of The Politics of World Hunger, Bread for the World, Grace at the Table, Ending Hunger in God's World, and most recently, How Much is Enough? Hungering for God in an Affluent Culture.
Making the Holidays Meaningful for Your Children by Betsy Taylor, president of the Center for a New American Dream and author of What Kids Really Want That Money Can't Buy.
A majority of Americans agree that Christmas is too materialistic. Some 70% say they would welcome less emphasis on gift-giving. People have been protesting the December extravaganza for decades now, yet it's easy to get swept up each year in the shopping, frenzied preparations, and piles of presents. This is especially true for our children, who on average receive 70 new toys a year, most of them during the holiday season. How can we reclaim the magic and meaning of the holiday season for our children and hold fast to our deepest beliefs and values? Here are 5 steps that any family can take to slow down and make sure this Christmas is all you hope it will be.
Number 1. Stop. The most radical thing you can do in this work and spend world is to simply slow down and reflect on the kind of holiday you really want. Think back to your own childhood and try to remember the magical moments. What traditions would you like to start or rekindle that will stay with your children for a lifetime? For many people, this stopping involves prayer, meditation, and reflection, a time of listening for guidance and wisdom.
Number 2. Reduce your child's exposure to commercial messages all year round, but especially during the holiday season. Kids today are being bombarded with advertising, and the flow of buy now, pay later messages are at their peak in November and December. Set limits on commercial television, but also on the internet. Help your child understand how advertising works. Talk about how ads create new needs, things your child feels he or she absolutely must have. Let them know that there is a multi-billion-dollar industry focused on manipulating them, and make it a game to deconstruct ads together.
Number 3. When you say no to something, say yes to something your child really wants. My organization, the Center for a New American Dream, conducted a contest and asked kids what they want that money can't buy. The top answer may come as a surprise. You! More than anything else, kids of all ages just want time to be kids and fun time with their parents. So when you say no to a video game or a pair of brand name sneakers, say yes to a bike ride, a game of Scrabble, a potluck with cousins. At first your child may think you are terribly uncool, but take them camping or ice skating anyway and see what happens. We need to spend half as much money on our children and give them twice as much of our time.
Number 4. Do something to promote goodwill on earth and watch your children glow. Kids want to make a positive difference in the world, but they need our support. Organize a get-together with a few other families and assemble gift boxes this year for children in a homeless shelter. In 2003, 1 out of every 8 Americans were poor, and a disproportionate number of them were children. Your children can help pick out some gifts: warm socks, watercolors, homemade cookies, and other items that a truly needy child might value. Ultimately, we are all deeply connected. We are all God's children. When children are given the chance to experience deep empathy with less privileged kids, it can be transformational.
Number 5. Be a good role model. Children learn from what we do more than what we say. This year, avoid the lines at the shopping mall and go visit your oldest family members instead. Interview them on audio tape, with your child in tow, and then make copies for everyone else in the family. A perfect holiday gift. Make homemade soup and bread and deliver them to homebound neighbors as a holiday gift. Join with others to organize an alternative gift fair.
My organization has a guide to help you get started. www.newdream.org. Have more fun with less stuff and make it an annual tradition. Ultimately, we need to stop asking children, "So what do you want from Santa this year?" and start asking them, "What should we do together this year that will be really fun?" For lots of tips for increasing the laughter and joy in your household this Christmas, check out my book, What Kids Really Want That Money Can't Buy, and feel free to get it at the library.
You've been listening to one part of the audio version of Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? The text for all these items are available through the links in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. You're welcome to contribute to this year's online edition of Whose Birthday. It will be updated as new material arrives, so send ideas and items anytime. Prepare something now while it's really on your mind, such as art. Art that depicts the tension between faith and culture, especially at Christmas. Or personal experiences, especially intergenerational ones, related to simplifying Christmas or finding meaning and happiness in relationships instead of stuff. Or family activities, rituals, or worshipful ceremonies for Advent, Christmas, or Epiphany. We reach many through our website, blogs, and other media. Sorry, we cannot pay for any submissions. To read the complete submission guidelines and past editions, use the link in the show notes, simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. We get positive responses to this podcast and our blogs. I'll present them in a future episode. In the meanwhile, read them on the Simple Living Works website. The address is given in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to feedback@simplelivingworks.org or simplelivingworks@yahoo.com or on our Facebook page or on our Simple Living Works blog. All those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. In addition to this podcast and its show notes, we blog several times a week on a variety of simple living subjects. Click on blog at the top of the show notes for each episode. We hope you'll read and subscribe. The Simple Living Works blog is the companion to this twice-a-month podcast. The content is different, but the subject is the same. Much of the Whose Birthday series is also available in Spanish. Please share it with your Spanish-speaking friends. See the link in the show notes. As one of the early and long-standing supporters of Alternatives, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, known as the ELCA, makes copies of each resource produced by Alternatives available by request at a nominal cost. After this short series, we'll return to our interview format. Time to wrap up this episode of Simple Living Works podcast. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. We want to get to know you as a subscriber to this podcast and to the blogs we post new each week. Subscriptions are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. You can also subscribe to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, at iTunes. Remember to like us on Facebook. Urge your friends to do the same. Provide your email address to receive our monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to John Pitney and Earth Mama for our show theme music. Find details in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Click on About. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage at simplelivingworks.org. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. Others can simply live, learn to live simply, so others can